everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Nitty Ginger Podcast. Thank you all so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoy the episode. I'm recording this episode live from my home in Canton, Georgia, on June 11th, 2014. During this podcast, I'll be talking about my crafting adventures and all-around geekiness. So let's start off with a brief introduction about me. My name is Ash, aka the Nitty Ginger. You can find me on Ravelry, Instagram, Twitter, or Google Plus underneath Nitty Ginger. That's KNITTYGINGER. I've been knitting and sewing since I was a little girl. Actually, I learned from my grandmother and could do both of those things before I could read or write. So this has been a part of my life for a very, very long time. Unfortunately, I've had several long hiatuses in between knitting escapades, if you will. Mainly, you know, life gets in the way. So I'm hoping that this podcast will help me keep crafting in my life because it's something I really enjoy. I actually do everything from knitting to crocheting to jewelry making and to dyeing. And the next big thing on my hit list is to learn how to spin. So hopefully in a few months I'll be able to pick that up as well. I have two girls. They are stepdaughters. Their father, Ben, is my significant other. He lives with me. One of the girls is a 13-year-old. Her name is Hope, and the other girl is 5 years old, and her name is Lily. They're the sweetest things I've ever met, and I really enjoy spending time with them. I also have two pets, one Chihuahua named Oscar. He's about 3 years old, and he is actually very strange coloring. He must be a mixed breed because he's actually black and white, and I've never seen that coloring in a Chihuahua before. And then the other one I actually recently adopted about 2 weeks ago, and she is a six-month-old tortoise hair kitten. And she's black and tan, for those of you that don't know what a tortoise hair cat looks like. Her name is River, after the Doctor Who character. We adopted her from a wonderful shelter, the Cherokee County Humane Society. And they actually have a policy where they don't put any pets down. So they bring the pets home when they run out of room. And River was actually one of the foster cats that was living with one of the volunteers, Sabine. And Sabine was wonderful. She sat there and answered all of our goofy questions. You know, five-year-olds can ask the strangest things. And, you know, she sat there and tolerated all four of us driving her probably crazy with all sorts of questions about the cat, but we brought her home and we love her. She's part of the family. She insists on, you know, trying to sleep on my head every night, which makes my life a little bit difficult, but I'm okay with it. The adoption cost about $100, and that included all of her shots, all of her vet records and all of that. So well worth it, and I think it's great to adopt from a society like a humane society or an agency like this rather than buying from somebody who breeds pets, because, you know, there's all sorts of hinky things that go on there, and I'm not going to get into that because I know people get very passionate about these things, but I personally prefer to support humane societies. So that's what we did. And I'll link to the Cherokee County Humane Society in my show notes. So now on to my first segment. My first segment is called What's Crafting? And so in this segment, I'll be talking about what I'm knitting, what I'm crocheting, any jewelry projects I might have, and any dyeing projects that I might have, or pretty much anything else that I decide is part of crafting and is in progress at this point. So right now I've been really focused on my knitting. So I have three projects on my needles, which is actually a little bit tame for me. That does not include, you know, about another 8 to 10 UFOs that I recently found after my move. So, yeah, there's that. We're not going to count those because I'm not actively working on them. So the first two projects on my needles are mother bears. And if you guys don't know what a mother bear is, they're bears that are made for the Mother Bear Project. And the Mother Bear Project is a wonderful charity that is dedicated to providing comfort and hope to children affected by HIV and AIDS in emerging nations. And what this group does is they get people to hand knit and crochet bears. And they can put any spin they like on them. They have a pattern that you can purchase for $5 on their website, and the proceeds go to the project. And they have a crochet pattern, a knitting pattern, flat or in the round. And the round one can be easily adapted to doing magic loop if that's what you would prefer. It's a great little pattern. I was reading a little bit about the project in a newspaper article in January this year. I think it was in the Huffington Post. And the founder was talking about the pattern came from, I think, her grandmother, who had it from World War II, or her mother's. I'm screwing the story up, so I apologize. But basically, it's a really old pattern that she has now adapted to fit this need. And to date, they have actually donated over 98,000 bears to children, which is amazing. I mean, if this is something you take part in, serious props for you, because it's wonderful when people do charity knitting, and this is one of them that I think is just absolutely amazing. So if you have bears in that 98,000, I just want to say big props to you. I have actually got two on my needles right now. So they're, I made them on size 7 double pointed needles out of Red Heart Super Saver yarn. And the bear itself is a tan color. And the sweater is in a black light colorway. And this black light is basically the 80s in yarn. And it is awesome. It is black and neons green, neon pinks, neon yellows, neon oranges. You know, super bright, super fun. I love it. And then I made the pants for the one bear out of black yarn and then finished him up. So he's not on my needles. He's just been recently finished, but he still needs to get stuffed and he needs a face. So I still consider it in part of my what's in progress, because he's really not finished. He doesn't have a name yet because he doesn't have a face. So he hasn't told me what he wants to be named yet. I need a face before I can name him. And he actually has a sister bear that is still on my needles that will have a dress that will be made out of the same blacklight colorway by Red Heart. So, she's also going to be an 80s bear, and I don't know what her name is yet either, because, again, no face, no name. So, once I get there, I'll give them some cute names and get ready to pack them up and send them over to the Mother Bear organization. The other thing on my needles is The Hitchhiker by Martina Bem. I hope I said that correctly. I'm making it out of the Claudia hand-painted fingering weight yarn on size US 4 or 3.5 millimeter needles, and it's in a fall colorway. This is going to sound awful because I bought 5 skeins of this, but I put it into a cake and I lost the tags. So, oops. But it's a really, really pretty colorway, if that helps. It's deep purples and greens and oranges. Very fall colors, so I want to get it done for fall, of course. And this is a beautiful pattern. I have several of Martina's patterns, and I love her stuff. It took me longer to decide which one I wanted to make than it did to actually get it cast on and going and swatched and all of that. Because it's so hard to pick which one of her patterns you want to start with. So I finally settled on the Hitchhiker, and so it's on the needles, it's in progress, I'm going for it, and as soon as I finish that one, I'll probably cast on one of her other projects. So that's it for the What's Crafting segment. So now on to What's Done Cooking. So in this segment, I'll be talking about what I finished in the crafting world. I refer to it as cooking. So it's basically what's finished. So I actually have one, my very first mother bear, and his name is Little Boy Blue Bob. He's all blue. He's very cute. And he's got this adorable little black face that I stitched on and a yellow scarf. I will put a picture up in the show notes for y'all. And then the other thing that I just finished are the Super Simple Socks by Allison Cernoff on US2 needles. It's in a sock yarn. Yeah, it's in a sock yarn. I think it's a Red Heart sock yarn, and it's in a black and pink self-striping colorway, but I got it as a gift that I again lost the sleeve tag thingy on it, so I don't really know. I've got to get better about this. This is bad. But both of these projects are going to count towards my Stash Dash that I'm participating in that the Knit Girls podcast is hosting. So the Stash Dash is actually really cool, and it's actually really helped motivate me to get my knitting on. And the goal is to knit, crochet, ply if you spin, or weave 5,468 yards. And it was started the end of May, and it runs through the beginning of August. August 7th is the last day. And the goal is to knit that many yards, or craft that many yards, depending on what you do. So I have 525 yards so far. Not a whole lot, but I'm working on it. I'm actively working on it. So as long as, you know, if I don't get there, that's okay. But as long as I continue to work on it, I'll be a happy camper. So I have 4,943 yards to go. And, you know, if you're not participating in it and it sounds like something you want to participate in, check it out. It's on the Knit Girls podcast, Ravelry page, and you can see it. It's sticky to the top of the forum. And it's super fun to see what everybody's doing in the projects. You get a lot of inspiration. The projects in there have, like, increased my queue 1,000 times over, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. So, check it out if you're interested. And that's pretty much it for What's Done Cooking for me right now. So, on to my next segment. My next segment is For the Love of Yarnia. Now, what's Yarnia, you might ask? Yarnia is my stash slash craft room. When I moved in with Ben and started unpacking things, he's like, wow, you know, you got a couple boxes of yarn. And I'm like, yeah, I do, you know. Let me back up, actually, before I finish this. I've moved 4 times in the last 9 months. I relocated from Florida up here and have been bouncing around while I've been getting settled, and then moved in with Ben. So, flash forward now to us moving and unpacking me this last time. So, yeah, I forgot how much yarn I had. Not gonna lie, I've got a lot of yarn. So we have a spare bedroom, and that spare bedroom was supposed to be an exercise slash craft room. And the yarn has pretty much taken over the room. It's basically, you walk into the room, and there's so much yarn and knitting books, and fabric, and sewing machines, that they're covering the exercise equipment. So, yeah. When we realized this, I very foolishly agreed to not buy any more yarn until he finished 5 projects. That was the deal. He said, I don't care how big they are. They can be little teeny tiny premiums. They can be big sweaters. Whatever it is. No more yarn enters this house until you complete 5 more projects. And I was like, I can do this. Sure, I can't. I can't do it. I totally lied. I'm going to probably get busted. And I'm praying he did not see me sneak the bag in the other day, which is totally horrible. But oops. Oh, well. He'll live. There could be worse things that I'm doing, right? So, because I'm getting hooked on these mother bears, in case you couldn't tell, I added to Yarnia. So then this segment's going to cover what I've added. And so the first 3 things that I added were 3 more skeins of Red Heart Super Soft. And I know some of you are probably going, bleh. I don't blame you. Red Heart used to stink. I have Red Heart that my grandmother gave me. Who knows how old it is? It might be older than she is because her mother crafted as well. It could have been her mother's. This stuff is so scratchy, you might as well use it as a pumice stone on the bottom of your foot. I can't get rid of it, though, because it has some sentimental value. I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll just turn it, you know, into a pumice stone. This stuff could basically survive a nuclear apocalypse. It's just gross. I don't usually know with that stuff. The new Red Heart, though, it's actually pretty squishy and nice, and they've been updating it to come out with some cooler colorways. So, you know, they're just funner colorways. Not to say that standards and primary colors are not fun. They are. They have their place. But these open up a range of things for you. So, I bought 3 more skeins. One is the bikini colorway, and it is also very bright, very neon, but not so neon as the black light one, but it's very pretty nonetheless. It's a little bit more modern neons, I guess. You've got blue, a teal blue, a navy, maybe a royal blue, I guess. Orange, yellow, and pink. Now, the pink is hot pink, and the orange is hot orange. But the yellow is a little bit more muted, and so is the blues, plural, actually. So, that's one of them. Again, that's called Bikini. The other one is called Macaw, which every time I say it, I have to go, Macaw! I know, I'm special. And it's all blues. So you've got like 3 or 4 variegated blues, a really pretty teal, a really pretty royal blue, and I guess that's a robin's egg blue. It's pretty. I'm going to make some more mother bears out of this. It's going to be gorgeous. And then I got like the Super Hank of Bon Bon print. And this is like their, you know, massive skein of 482 yards, and this is in very similar colors, but it reminds me of an East Coast summer sunset on the beach, where you've got that gorgeous blue in the ocean and the gorgeous purple and pinks in the sky. That's what this looks like, and I cannot wait to make some mother bears out of this. This color is going to make some kids happy. I think they all will, actually. And, like I said, Red Heart has done a really good job of updating it so the yarn no longer can be used as a pumice stone, but instead can be squeezed by a child. So I'm really excited about that. And then I got some of my selfish yarns, yarns that I will use to make something for me, myself, and I. I love this. I was on Webs the other day, and I saw this, and I just had to have it. Had to. It's, Lustra by Barocco, and it's, a worsted weight,
There's 197 yards per skein, and it's 50% Peruvian wool and 50% tinsel. Now, I've never actually made anything with tinsel before, but I imagine that's what gives it the really pretty, almost glisten look. I'll post a picture in my show notes for y'all. Barocco is kind of boring. They don't come up with any fun color names. So the color is 3184, but it's this really pretty garnet jewel color. And I think I'm going to make a cowl with it. I can't wait. It's going to be gorgeous. I just know it. And it's super soft. Right now, I know you guys can't see me, but I'm sitting here petting it like Dr. Evil would pet a cat or something. I look a little creepy. But oh well. I'm okay with that too. Like I said, super soft. I cannot wait to make something with this. In fact, maybe I'll cast on something from Martina Bev out of this next, if she has any cute cows. I don't know. I should know that. But I'll take a look later. So those are my additions to Yarnia. And don't make promises that you know you can't keep, but hopefully he doesn't find out, and hopefully he doesn't listen to this podcast. He's not a knitter, so he probably won't. So, anyway, on to our next segment. My next segment is Geeky Fangirl Pick of the Week. So, in this segment, I'm going to be talking about my Geeky Fangirl Pick of the Week. Basically, where I get super geeky, super fangirly, and drool all over something. This week it's Supernatural. So, I've been watching Supernatural since it's come on. For those of you that don't know what Supernatural is, it is a TV show on the CW that has been on for 9 seasons. In the fall, it will be going into its 10th season. And I love this show. You've got two gorgeous guys, sometimes more, depending on who this is in the supporting cast. Jensen Ackles, I think, and I'm forgetting Sam's name. Oh, goodness. They're both gorgeous. It doesn't matter. They're gorgeous men. You like to drool on all over them. It's okay. They've got gorgeous men, rock and roll, and some awesome cars. So, you know, what else are you going to ask for in life? And then, of course, it's focused on the supernatural. So, these two guys are brothers, and they hunt supernatural evil, which can include Wendigos, ghosts, demons, all sorts of things. I mean, I don't want to give away too much, but I love it. And Ben's daughter, his oldest, loves the show as well. Her and I get really geeky fangirl when we're out and talking about it. And we can actually quote the blooper reels. Yeah, we're that bad. So one day I'll get her to record with me and we'll do some of our impersonations for y'all. It's quite entertaining. And most of the time people look at us like we're absolute lunatics. But we have fun. And so Ben has been getting a little frustrated with us because he doesn't know what on earth we're talking about. And we don't really ever stop talking about it. So he's been catching up on the show. So it's available on Netflix through Season 8, and he is currently on the beginning of Season 6. So we just went through the major, 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 major arc of Season 5. So I don't want to give anything away, but the original creator and writer of the show was originally planning on ending it after 5 seasons, but then decided to continue it. So Season 5 is what everything from Seasons 1 through 5 are leading up to. And I remember when I watched the season finale, I threw my shoe at the TV. I was so frustrated and so angry. You got this huge cliffhanger, and it was just like, are you kidding me right now? So, thank God I don't watch things in that way anymore, because I would still be throwing my shoes at the TV. And then I'd probably get mad for breaking it. But, you know. It's a great show. You should check it out. I will say, it's not... When I found out that Hope was watching it, at first I was like, I'm not sure you should be watching that. That could just be me being a little overprotective, or it could be the fact that I have an overactive imagination. And so I let things kind of creep me out that probably wouldn't creep out a normal person. All right, sorry, I had to take a quick break. So Supernatural, I don't know that I would really let a younger child watch it. Like, Lily most definitely would not. That would terrify her. But depending on how your kid does with horror suspense, would really depend on, you know, if... I would watch it first. Long story short, I would watch it first. But it's a great show. And I highly recommend it. So that's it for that segment. So on to Bookworm. So in Bookworm, I will be talking about books that I've recently finished or are currently reading. And my thoughts on them. So the first one is a book I've actually finished, and this is a young adolescent book. It's called Nearly Gone. I read it with Hope. It's by L. Casamano. This is her first book as an author, and I highly, highly, highly recommended this book. And we actually picked it up because we were both giggling in the bookstore at the little tagline on the book that described it as a mystery with a math and science twist. And that immediately had us intrigued, which I guess was the whole point, but it just sounds absolutely ridiculous. So we picked it up, we read the back of the book and a couple of the pages, and I said, well, I'm getting this one. And she said, me too. So we started reading the books together, and I think I finished mine in 2 days. I loved it. I loved the main character. I loved the plot twists. And, I mean, every time I started to figure out who it was that was doing the killing... actually, so let me back up. So it's a book about a serial killer who is targeting the main character, Nearly Boswell, for whatever reason, and leaving encrypted messages for her in the newspaper. So, people around her start dying. She doesn't know why. She doesn't know why she's targeted. And basically, she's trying to figure out what the heck is going on. So, it's a really great book. I just loved it. I mean, I can't say anything more than I loved it. It doesn't go too far. And it doesn't go... It doesn't take the route where it doesn't give you enough. So, you know, sometimes what I find in adolescent books are, you know, the author goes too far or into too much detail or drowns you with information that's not necessary for the plot line, or they don't give you enough information for the plot line. That's not the case with this book. So I thoroughly enjoyed it and highly recommend it. I even think that if you're, you know, an adult that tends to like younger adult fiction, it would be something that you could enjoy if you're a mystery person. I'm a huge mystery person, so this was right up my alley, and I really liked it. Quick read, you know, really good, and I cannot wait to see what else the author comes out with. The second book I'm currently reading is Outlander by Deanna Gabaldon. I am horrible with pronouncing names, y'all. So, forgive me. But for those of you who have not heard of it, which this book's been out a while, and it's very, very widely popular, it's about a war nurse who is thrust back in time to 1743 to Scotland, or in Scotland, and basically all insanity ensues from there. So, you know, she's trying to figure out where she is at first, how she got there, there starts this love thing, but she's actually already married in the present, and yeah, basically, it's an interesting story. I'm about halfway through, and I haven't lost my interest yet, which is saying something for me, because I squirrel all over the place, in case y'all have not figured that out. So, I have a hard time with books that keep me interested, especially bigger books, and this is not a short book. So, it's definitely something that I've been enjoying so far, and I recommend it. Take a look at it. I think it's actually considered a romance. I could be wrong on that. And I will warn you now, because nobody warned me when I heard others discussing this book. There is a total of 7 books, I think. And she just came out with a new one that was released yesterday. So, be prepared. Once you get hooked, you will be reading all of the books. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but I think I will be getting the next few books on Audible so I can knit while I read. And that way, you know, I get to kill 2 birds with 1 stone. And the last book I am currently reading is actually by Charlaine Harris, who, if you don't know who that is the woman who wrote the Sookie Stackhouse series, or the True Blood series. I am not a fan of the Sookie Stackhouse books. I like True Blood. It's gotten a little weird for me. You know, it's going into its last season. I will watch it because I've watched all the others, but they might have lost me had it not been that this is their last season as a viewer. But the books, I liked the first couple books, the 3rd one and the 4th one. I was so frustrated. I just gave up. I did not finish them. So, oh well. I had actually gotten a recommendation for one of her other series. It's her mystery series. It's called the Harper Connelly Mystery Series. And it is about a woman who is not psychic, but she kind of speaks to the dead. So she gets involved with all these cases, and it's a mystery series. I think there's 4 or 5 books. Loved, loved, loved the series. One of the characters in that series is Manfred Bernardo. And so Charlaine Harris's new book is called Midnight Crossroad. And its main character is Manfred Bernardo, who is from the Harper Connelly series. So it is set in a town called Midnight in Texas. And it's a super, super, super small town. Like, uber small. They have 1 traffic light. Everybody lives on the same road. There's a diner, there's a gas station, and a pawn shop, and pretty much that's it. So, Manfred goes there to kind of get his life back on track, and he wants to be left alone. He is actually a psychic, and he actually has the gift. But he also exploits it a little bit. Maybe exploiting is being a little harsh on him. He uses it, and he charges people money for using his talents, even though he can't always control whether or not it works. So it's a good series. It's a good book. She supposedly is turning this into a series. It does say first in a new series on the book. So I'm hoping she continues it. And it's not that, you know, if she doesn't get enough sales, she doesn't continue it. I will be very frustrated. I am about a quarter of the way through this one, and I'm really enjoying it. Town's a little weird. I don't want to give away anything, but you find out some of its residents are not all human. And so basically, you know, there's a mystery in that. And so I'm really enjoying it. I highly recommend it so far. I'll let y'all know if I change that opinion by the time I get to the end of the book. I'm hoping I won't. And that is all that I'm currently reading. So now, on to my last segment. My last segment is a review. And today I'm going to be knitting a book called Knitting in the Sun by Christy Porter. Now, this was actually published in May 2009, and it's currently retailing for $17.72 in the U.S. on Amazon, and I will put a link to it in my show notes. And it's 31 projects for warmer weather, so I thought this would be a great book to review, given that we're, you know, entering the hottest months of the year at this point. And I like this book. Overall, I'm going to give it an A. Not an A plus, but an A. So it's got, you know, a brief little introduction, and then it goes directly into the patterns. Now, one of my beefs. I don't necessarily buy the accessories that she chose to make for summer. I mean, I'm not going to knit a hat. I don't care if it's made out of lace weight yarn and has, you know, this cute little holy pattern in it. It's adorable. I wouldn't wear it. It's not my style. I just not a fan. So some of the things that she actually put in here, I think she could have put other patterns in, and I could have appreciated it more had those patterns not been in there. But, you know, that's my taste. So for me, I'm a little frustrated. The other thing is, she's got this adorable, and I am trying to find it, so bear with me, this super adorable blanket that is, it's a circular blanket, and they throw it on the beach. And all I'm thinking, I mean, I think it's meant to, it has like an I-cord through it. It's called Cinnamon Bay. And it has an I-cord through it so that you can pull it up and carry it with you. There's a picture of it in the book somewhere. But here's why I'm frustrated with it. If I spend this much time and effort and money on a blanket and you take it to the beach, I'm going to be livid. I would use this in my house. I would not use it at the beach. Maybe on a picnic? Okay, I get it, but no. Just no. I'd be so pissed. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not bringing a blanket to the beach. Just use a towel. That's why they're made. That's just my opinion, but you know, that one kind of irked me a little bit. But it is very cute that you can pull it up into a bag and throw it over your shoulder. I will give her that. And so, I guess if you made it out of some yarn that wasn't so expensive and you're a really fast knitter, then maybe you wouldn't be as upset about that as I am because, you know, pet peeve. But, side trend. There are some very, very cute patterns in here, and I will be making some of these. There is this adorable sleeveless tank top that has a little shrug that goes with it. The tank top is called the Anna Maria, and it's an hourglass shell. And actually, I didn't realize this until just now, but apparently the patterns are by different people. So I do apologize. So I will name the patterns and who designed them. So let me step back a little bit. The blanket that I was so annoyed about is by Karen Feller, and it's called Cinnamon Bay. The Anna Maria, the hourglass shell that I will be casting on, that is very, very adorable, is also by Carol Feller, and she has made it out of a bamboo soft yarn. And I understand why. Bamboo's a little bit easier to breathe in, and, you know, it looks very pretty, it's very soft. I don't know that I'd use bamboo because it's really not one of my favorite yarns, but I love the pattern, so I will make the pattern. My other favorite is Varia, I think is how you say it, and it's by Marnie McLean. I'm horrible with names. But it is this very, very, very cute little wrap top. And it's a little girly. It's got you stitch in some ribbon and tie it together on the side. And it's very feminine and very, very cute. It's got a ruffled
top, and I mean, I just really like it. I haven't ever seen anybody design something like that before, and I think it's really cute. I'm gonna have to get some yarn to make this, and she makes it out of classic yarn soft linen. So that's definitely another one I'm going to be casting on my needles. So they have several other tops that are all very, very cute. Some are a little longer sleeve, some are made with bigger needles, and are airier in that capacity rather than the top having, you know, some stitching that creates holes instead. But there are some others that, you know, basically are breathable fabrics that are just really pretty. There's a tunic in there. There's just all sorts of really cute things in here. I love the photos. I will say, this book does a great job of photographing the projects. There's not one project in here where you're like, oh my god, that model should not be wearing that. I've seen projects like that. I talk to my books all the time. And I'm like, oh my god, who dressed you? You shouldn't be putting that on. Or, oof, that looks like it's about 50 times too big for you. Or, that was made for a smaller model. Whatever it is, you know, you can tell when the pattern did not adapt well to the wearer. And I get that that happens, but they didn't do that in this book. So I was very pleased by that because it shows off the knitwear so much better when it actually fits appropriately. The other thing is, these patterns actually have a pretty good range of sizes. So they go from extra small to anywhere from 2X to 3X. There are a few in here that go to 3X. There's a few shawls in here as well that are also very, very, very cute. But the ones that are, you know, for sizing purposes, like the sweaters and the skirts and stuff, they gave you a pretty good range. So, you know, the extra small is a 32-inch, and then the 3X is a 56-inch for a skirt. And then the tank tops or sweaters are ranging from a 34-inch bust at an extra small to a 50-inch 1X or even a 59-inch 3X. So they did a great job with that, and I was really pleased with it. The pattern book has 5 sleeveless tops, 4 short sleeve tops, 4 lightweight long sleeve tops, 6 summer weight cardigans, 2 skirts, a sleep set, and a wearable bathing suit. And then 9 accessories ranging from a beach hat to a cotton wrap or a beach chair. Yeah, they knitted a beach chair. It was a little weird. That one was a little odd. That was one of the projects that I was like, why would anybody ever do this? Now let me say this. I'm from Florida, y'all. Born, raised. I lived there for 27 years of my lifetime. I lived on the beach for at least 10 years. I'm not going to knit a chair. Just, I got better things to do. Not knitting a chair. It's adorable, and maybe, you know, I would make it and put it and then not allow anyone to sit on it. That's even if I bothered to make it, but I didn't get it. I'm sorry. Okay, it's weird. The knitted bathing suit. I've never knitted a bathing suit before. I've seen others do it. I don't understand it. Why would I do that? How is it going to stay on with elastic? Like, I don't know. It's a cute pattern. Yes. I'm not a fan of the colors. It's like, you know, in this really brown color. But it's cute. I just wouldn't wear it. The sleep set, on the other hand, is uber cute. And I might wear that. So, all in all, I have to say, really good book, great instructions included in the patterns. You know, they have written patterns as well as charts for the patterns that need them. Very straightforward, great pictures. I say check it out. It's worth looking at and seeing if it's got some of your style that you would like. So, that brings me to the end of my segment. I have started a group on Ravelry, so you can find it in my show notes if you found me via my blog. You can find my show notes at thenittyginger.jimdo.com. And I'll include a link to everything that I've spoken about in this podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to PM me on Ravelry. So until next time, I hope everyone enjoys their crafting and has a great week. Bye!